Our scripture reading for the day is from the Gospel according to Mark in the 10th chapter, the 46th through the 52nd verses. Hear now this word. They came to Jericho, and he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho. Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he came up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on his way. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, let me tell you what happened to the walls. There were these big walls that surrounded the city of Jericho to keep certain people in and other people out. And the people of Israel were slaves in Egypt. God hears their cries for freedom and led them to Jericho in the land of Canaan. But when they got there, they couldn't enter the city because of the walls. So God told Joshua, the leader of the Israelites, to have the people walk around the city 6 times, and on the 7th time to blow trumpets and shout out, and they did. They walked around the walls, and they blew the trumpets, and they shouted out, and you know what happened to the walls of Jericho? They came a-tumbling down. They came a-tumbling down, and now Jesus is right on the outskirts of Jericho. He is in the same place where the walls came a-tumbling down all those years ago. And there is a blind beggar there named Bartimaeus who wants Jesus to heal him. He wants Jesus' attention, but he's wrapped in a cloak, sitting on the side of the road, and there is a wall of people between him and Jesus. So Bartimaeus shouts out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And the people try to silence him. "Hush, Bartimaeus," they say. You see, the poor are not supposed to shout out like that. They are supposed to stay silent in their place on the side of the road, walled off from the rest of society. But Bartimaeus refuses to stay silent. He shouts out even louder, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And you know what happened to the walls? They came a-tumbling down. Jesus says, "Call him here." It seems to me that God is in the business of breaking down walls. Now, we are not in Jericho, but we are in Arapaho. And I wonder what walls need to come down today. In your life, in mine, in our church, in our community, what walls need to come down so that we can live fully and joyfully as we were made to live, so that we can be disciples of Jesus, which is what happens to Bartimaeus. This is a healing story, but it's also a call story. Bartimaeus is the 12th and final disciple. He goes from sitting on the sidelines to seeing the truth of the resurrection. Yes, he will be there when Jesus is raised from the dead. All because he shouts out to Jesus to set him free, and Jesus does. Yes, the walls come a-tumbling down because Bartimaeus knows the one who can take them down, and he asks him to. He shouts out to Jesus to take them down. So let's look at each of the walls that Jesus takes down in our text today and how we can shout out to Jesus to take them down in our lives. The first wall is whatever we put on ourselves or others put on us that prevents us from being our true selves. It's the cloak that keeps us cowering. The one thing that a beggar has in that time is a cloak. It's his identifying marker. You know a beggar because he has a cloak that he's wrapped up in. It's his one possession, and it serves one purpose, to protect him from the elements. So it is significant that the text says that when Jesus calls to Bartimaeus, he throws off his cloak and springs up. Beggars do not do these things. They never let go of their cloak, and they do not spring up. They do not leave their position on the side of the road. This is where society wants them. This is who they have been told to be. The cloak is a symbol for the wall that the world has constructed around them that says, you are not worthy of love, you are not worthy of belonging, you are not good enough. What are you cloaked in today? What is defining you? Is it your past? Is that what you wear around that keeps you down? Or maybe it is some judgment that people have about you that weighs on you, and you've started to believe it, and so now you have all this negative self-talk that goes with you everywhere. Or maybe you are cloaked in the need to achieve, to produce, this idea that if you do not succeed, you are not of value. Or maybe you are cloaked in others' expectations of you, the roles that you feel like you have to play because that's what people want you to do. Or are you cloaked in shame for some addiction? Or are you cloaked in guilt from some hurt that you caused? Or maybe someone has hurt you, and so you have cloaked yourself to protect yourself so that no one can really know you and you won't get hurt again. Well, whatever it is that you are cloaked in, name it today. Name it today. Name the walls that are preventing you from participating in life to the fullest, and turn to the one who can tear them down. Shout out for a blessing and spring up to receive it. This is what Janet did. She was a part of a community for the developmentally disabled. Henry Nouwen was the priest of the community, and one day Janet came in and said, I want a blessing. And he admits that he kind of went into autopilot, and he just gave her a quick blessing on the forehead, and she stopped him and said, no, I want a real blessing. I want a real blessing. And so he invited her to come to the chapel service that day, and at the end of the service, he said to the group gathered, Janet has asked me for a blessing. And Janet sprang up from her seat, and she ran down the aisle towards him. Now Henry was wearing this long, flowing robe, and it had these long, flowing sleeves. And she ran right down the aisle and wrapped her arms around him and put her head on his chest. And it sort of surprised him, but then he wrapped his arms around her so that she was in the fold of his robe. And as he held her, he said, Janet, I want you to know that you are God's beloved. You are God's beloved daughter. You are precious in God's eyes. Your beautiful smile, your kindness to the people in your house, and all the good things you do show us what a beautiful human being you are. I know you feel a little low these days, and that there is some sadness in your heart, but I want you to remember who you are. You are a very special person, deeply loved by God and all the people who are here with you. After he said these words, Janet raised her head and looked at him, and her broad smile showed him that she really heard and received the blessing. And when she returned to her place, Jane, another person with a disability, raised her hand and said, well, I want a blessing too. And she stood up, and before he knew it, she had run down the aisle and put her face against his chest. And after he had spoken words of blessing to her, one of the assistants, a 24-year-old student, raised his hand and said, well, can I have a blessing? What about me? And he came, and Henry put his arms around him and blessed him, and then another and another. Henry writes this about that night. That evening, I recognized the importance of blessing and being blessed. It is the deepest affirmation of our true self. We need an ongoing blessing that allows us to hear in an ever new way that we belong to a loving God who will never leave us, who will never leave us alone, but will remind us always that we are guided by love every step of the way. Whatever cloak you've been wrapped up in that has defined you for so long, throw it off, spring up, and receive this blessing. I want you to hear this blessing for you today. It is so good that you are here. You are God's beloved child. Your presence is a joy for all of us. When things are hard and life is burdensome, always remember that you are loved with an everlasting love. That is who you are. Accept that. Accept your identity as God's child. Accept God's love for you. And you know what happens to that cloak? That wall that has prevented you from living fully for so long? Well, it comes a-tumbling down. And you are free to walk with Jesus on the way. The word way is used twice in this passage. It's often translated as road, but the original meaning is way. When we first meet Bartimaeus, he is by the way, or by the road. After he shouts out and springs up to Jesus and receives his blessing, the text says that Bartimaeus follows Jesus on the way. So the early community who followed Jesus was known as the way. Bartimaeus goes from just being by the way to being a part of the way. You see, he's been given the power and responsibility to spread the good news that he has received and to set people free as he has been set free, to make some walls come a-tumbling down in Jesus' name. And don't you know those who are in the crowd that day who are witnessing all of this are in total shock? Because this blind beggar is now a part of the band of disciples. Talk about breaking down the wall between rich and poor. Between the supposed righteous people and the unrighteous people, between the high and mighty and the low and weak. That is the second kind of wall that Jesus breaks down. He breaks down the walls that we put up between ourselves and others, the ones we construct that make an us and a them, so that there is no longer Jew or Gentile, male or female, rich or poor, black or white, gay or straight, Democrat or Republican, all of those walls between us come a-tumbling down when we see one another as beloved children of God. There is this great song. It's so simple. It goes, "The Jesus in me sees the Jesus in you, and it's so easy to love." When you know the truth, that Christ is in each and every one, well, it is a heck of a lot easier to love. To see the best in somebody, to give the benefit of the doubt, to listen without judgment, to love without condition, to refuse to live with walls. This happens all the time. Just think about the last time you heard a story about somebody that was gossipy. Someone told you because they want you to distance yourself from that person. They want you on the side of the wall that they're creating. The response is, I refuse to participate in that. Now, I refuse to live in a small world. I refuse to see this person as less than my brother and sister in Christ. I'm going to reach out. I'm going to reach out to them and see what's really going on and see if I can help. Do that. And the walls come a-tumbling down. I saw a story recently about police officers coming together with folks from Black Lives Matter, get to know one another more. Like in Wichita, we have a picture. They held a community cookout called First Step Community Cookout. And that's what it was. It was the first step in building friendships. The more steps like this, the more the walls come a-tumbling down. I was talking with one of our Dobie volunteers. Dobie is our partner school where we tutor students, and the students are going to be coming to our pumpkin patch this Friday, by the way. And this volunteer that I was talking with, she pointed out that crossing Spring Valley Road and going into the neighborhood where the school is, it's like crossing into another world. And even though it's just 2 miles away. And she told me about how important it is for her to make that drive to see those students. And then she said with tears in her eyes, you know, I really see those kids as my kids. You know, I want them to have a good education. I want them to have a good environment to grow up in. And then we started dreaming about an after-school program. And the more of us that can make that drive, the more of us that can go into the neighborhood, well, the more walls come a-tumbling down. I want to end with this. I went to Juarez, Mexico for the first time when I was 20 years old, a sophomore in college. And I remember so clearly standing in those dirt, dust-ridden streets of Juarez. And on my right were all these houses made of cinder block and concrete and cardboard that they had found and put together. And the only running water that they had came out of a hose. So that was on my right. And then on my left, you could see in the distance the wall and the barbed wire, and then just a bit further in the United States, a big Walmart sign and a big church steeple. And that was the first time I prayed, "Thy kingdom come," with all of my heart. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In the kingdom of God, the walls come a-tumbling down. "Thy kingdom come, Lord. Thy kingdom come." So may it ever be. Amen.